Hello, and welcome to episode 107 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb. Today we'll read Numbers 19, Luke 14, and Psalm 29 from the Common English Bible. Numbers chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. This is the regulation and the instruction that the Lord commanded. Tell the Israelites that they must bring you a red cow without defect, which is flawless, and on which no yoke has been laid. You will give it to Eleazar the priest, and he will take it outside the camp and slaughter it in front of him. Eleazar the priest will take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle it 7 times in front of the meeting tent. Then he will burn the cow in front of him, its skin, flesh, and blood with its dung. The priest will take cedar wood, hyssop, and crimson cloth and throw them into the fire where the cow is burning. Then the priest will wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Afterward, the priest will enter the camp, but he will be unclean until evening. The one who burned the cow will wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water, but he will be unclean until evening. A person who is clean will gather the ashes of the cow and place them outside the camp in a clean place. They will be kept for the water of purification for the Israelite community as a purification offering. The one who gathers the ashes of the cow will wash his clothes, but will be unclean until evening. This will be a permanent regulation for the Israelites and for the immigrant who lives among them. The person who touches the dead body of any human will be unclean for 7 days. That person must be cleansed with water on the 3rd and 7th days to be clean. If he fails to be cleansed with water on the 3rd and 7th day, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches the body of a human who has died and doesn't cleanse himself defiles the Lord's dwelling. Such persons must be cut off from Israel because the water of purification wasn't sprinkled on them. They remain unclean. This is the instruction. When anyone dies in a tent, all who go into the tent and all who are in the tent are unclean for 7 days. Any open jar without a sealed cover on it is unclean. Anyone in the open field who touches a person slain by the sword, or who died naturally, or a human bone, or a grave, will be unclean for 7 days. For the unclean person, they will take some of the ashes of the purification offering and place fresh water with it in a jar. Then a clean person will take a hyssop, dip it into the water, and sprinkle it on the tent, on all the jars, on the people who were there, and on anyone who touches bone, the slain, the dead, or the grave. On the 3rd day and the 7th day, the clean person will sprinkle it on the unclean, so that he will have purified him on the 7th day. He will then wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be clean at evening. Any person who is unclean and didn't cleanse himself will be cut off from the assembly, because he has defiled the Lord's sanctuary. He didn't have the water of purification sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This will be a permanent regulation for them. The one who sprinkles the water of purification will wash his own clothes. Anyone who touches the water of purification will be unclean until evening. Whoever the unclean person touches will be unclean, and the one who touches the unclean will be unclean until evening. Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. A man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body was there. Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not?" But they said nothing. Jesus took hold of the sick man, cured him, and then let him go. He said to them, "Suppose your child or ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out?" But they had no response. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to this other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected. When one of the dinner guests heard Jesus' remarks, he said to Jesus, Happy are those who will feast in God's kingdom. Jesus replied, A certain man hosted a large dinner and invited many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell the invited guests, Come, the dinner is now ready. One by one, they all began to make excuses. The first one told him, I bought a farm and must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I bought 5 teams of oxen and I'm going to check on them. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. When he returned, the servant reported these excuses to his master. The master of the house became angry and said to his servant, Go quickly to the city's streets, the busy ones and the side streets, and bring the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. The servant said, Master, your instructions have been followed and there is still room. The master said to the servant, Go to the highways and back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will taste my dinner. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost to determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you've laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will say, Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, he would send a representative to discuss terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off. In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all your possessions can be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will it become salty again? It has no value, neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. People throw it away. Whoever has ears to hear should pay attention. Psalms chapter 29. You divine beings, give to the Lord, give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bow down to the Lord in holy splendor. The Lord's voice is over the waters, the glorious God thunders. The Lord is over the mighty waters. The Lord's voice is strong. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks cedar trees. Yes, the Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon jump around like a young bull, makes Syrian jump around like a young wild ox. The Lord's voice unleashes fiery flames. The Lord's voice shakes the wilderness. Yes, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice convulses the oaks, strips the forests bare. But in His temple, everyone shouts, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the floodwaters. The Lord sits enthroned, King forever. Let the Lord give strength to His people. Let the Lord bless His people with peace. May God bless the reading of His Word. So I decided to do a little digging in reaction to Luke 14:26, in which Jesus says, Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. Do we really have to hate our family to follow Christ? Well, of course not. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 15, verse 4, he tells us to honor our father and mother. The point he's making here is given a bit more light when we look at Matthew 6:24. Here, Jesus says, No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. The word hate in these instances is part of what the commentator A.T. Robertson calls exaggerated contrast, In our reading today in Luke, Jesus is contrasting the idea of being his disciple or not. He's giving a choice. Choose me above all else, or you cannot be my follower. If your mother or father, spouse or children, brothers or sisters would have you put anything before me, you must put them behind you and follow me. If the time comes where you must reject me or give up your life, you must give up your life if you want to be my disciple. For some, this is a hard teaching, but obviously Jesus considered it an important one. I have a hint for you to make it easier to follow this. Make the decision before you're called upon to choose between Jesus and anything else. Once you decide that nothing in your life can come first, once it is cemented in your heart and in your mind, the choosing is easier when the time comes. Have a great day today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.